Some people pay other people to turn a wrench, swap their oil filter. Me, DIY, all day. This isn't convenience. It's confidence. Purelator 20K oil filters. Clean oil, more miles. Over 99% filter to perfection. Only at Walmart.com or select Walmart stores. Purelator. Keep it purring.
Thank you, Eli.
Once the voice of the Predators. Yes, little known fact.
He was.
For a season. Yes, sir.
Sure David Poile remembers that.
I'm sure he does. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, David Poile, Predators general manager, joins us every Tuesday on the program, and he's brought to you by Gary Force Acura in Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. David, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. I've known Eli Gold for years. I knew Eli Gold when he got his start on Long Island, and his first gigs in broadcasting were not football. They were hockey.
Yes, sir.
And he did the Birmingham Bulls in the minor leagues and the WHA and did some NHL stuff before he went to Alabama. So I just want all you football fans to know he got his roots in hockey first.
Well done, by the way. Well done. That was fantastic. Let's start with what's going on. And it kind of happened after our show yesterday. It was out over the weekend, but it really wasn't made official. What can you tell us on what the NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and MLS have said about, you know, nobody in locker rooms? What have you learned in the last 24 hours on that front that you can pass along?
Probably no more than you have. I mean, I think everything that's coming out is very, very public. I think everybody's just operating basically day to day on these situations. Leagues, cities, everybody's in contact with their local governments, all the health organizations, and you know, we're kind of in uncharted territory in my existence. We've never had something like this. We had, you know, the SARS and different viruses, but I think the sort of the good and bad news, and right now, is the social media is getting information out there instantly, so everybody's in the know, which is a good thing. But on the other hand, they're getting it out there, and I think people are reacting, and I certainly don't want to say overreacting because I don't know enough about this, but it's just caused so much more reaction than we've ever seen before from, you know businesses like stay at home, less travel, probably some school closing, et cetera, so... That's all I know. I mean, I the last thing I understood when we were in Dallas the other day, and they basically told the anybody that comes near our room, including the media, that would bring three players out and do it in a conference room where there wasn't as much possible contact and where you could, you know, get a virus or what have you. So it's very complicated and it's obviously very serious. But that's as much as I know.
With 14 games remaining in the season, I'm just asking you your opinion. I don't think you've got any firsthand knowledge of this, but I'm just along these lines. I mean, I don't think I would have ever believed this until as we sit here today on this Tuesday and everything has escalated to where it is. As you said, schools, I mean, Vanderbilt announcing they're not even having classes. Everything is going to be online now for the foreseeable future. Do you think we're actually going to see a hockey game in front of no one?
Oh, I don't want to be the one that has to say that. But when you have Santa Clara County in California say that, is I guess that's an edict to respond to that. I know the NHL is having discussions and meetings today amongst every team, and then I'd have to believe it's the same happening for other sports leagues and other obviously it's for other events that are for more than 1,000. People. So I really hope it's not that serious. I hope it doesn't happen. But, I mean, again, people that know more about this, people that are in the health business, they're the ones that are probably going to make the decision. We're going to have to probably follow along.
Yeah. I'm going to go on and assume, even though that's a dangerous word, that you're pleased with how this team responded to the last two games against the Stars.
I am, again, very close games, featured, you know, strong defensive play, excellent goaltending on both teams. We scored, they didn't. So it's a good ending. I also thought we kind of slayed the dragon a bit in the last two games, because Dallas has not been a good opponent for us for a long, long time, including all last year and then again in the playoffs. So that was a big mountain to get over in terms of our confidence, and another reason why I think we have a good chance to make the playoffs. So I thought as a team effort, especially in the Dallas game for the first two periods, I really thought that was probably as good as we played for a long, long time in terms of a whole team concept system and limiting them to, you know, reasonable chances and playing a strong game.
You know, you made one deadline day deal, and it was sending Matt Irwin to Anaheim and getting Holzer in return. I don't know if he's the magic pill or Bean, but you guys are 2-0 since he's been in the lineup, and I'm just saying. In all seriousness, that third D pairing of Tenorti and Holzer, what they've done on the penalty kill, kind of the message, especially Tenorti sent with Corey Perry in both games, didn't appreciate the Winter Classic, you know, didn't appreciate the way he acts and conducts himself on the ice. Just talk about their play and what they have meant, and really how far that can go in a room when you have what Tenorti did in those games. I know there were others. Roman Josi obviously got fined, which I don't agree with, but that's neither here nor there. And the play of Holzer, you know, those guys standing up for their teammates.
Yeah, really, small change, but could be a real big factor going forward. As you mentioned, penalty killing has been excellent with those two guys kind of leading the way. I look at them, they're two big, like, oak trees. They're very hard to move out, and they do a good job of moving out the opponents. Penalty killing has not been one of our strengths this year. And the fact that we didn't allow any goals and our penalty killing was strong with them, that feels really good. And I totally agree with what you said about and I believe they got a lot of praise from the coach and the players for their play, their physicality. I also would like to include in that group like a Trennan that's come up and has been playing for us a little bit, another bigger body, doing a lot of hitting. I think Ekholm has taken up his game, seeing these other oak trees back there, and it feels like it's a little bit more of a playoff type of a team with those guys in our lineup right now.
David, for a guy who drafted Pekka and a guy that has meant so much to this franchise, and look, there's no doubt he is the most popular Predator ever, and I don't know how long it's going to be, if ever, when somebody probably unseats him of being the most popular Predator ever. He just is, and he's going to be. This is tough, right, because of the person that he is, and he's the nicest human beings you'll ever meet, and you're going to need him at some point. But right now, Juuse Saros is getting the starts, and he's obviously just pitched back-to-back shutouts. Pekka, I think, only had four starts in the month of February. How tough is it for you, just knowing him like you do and having so much invested in him, kind of seeing him play kind of the backup for the first time?
Yeah, that's a tough part of being a manager. And, you bring players in and you see them develop as players, as a person, you know, what they do, of course, on the ice, what they do off the ice, and all those things. So it's hard. I know it's hard on Pekka right now. He's obviously a pro. He wants to be in the net. For me, it's not the best of situations, to be honest. I mean, so we both know this day is inevitable. We talked about it when we signed his extension there last year. He knows it too. He's certainly supportive of Saros. But having said that, we're all in this to win, and I think Pekka gets it. He understands it. I mean, as you said, we got 14 games left. He's going to play in lots of games. I mean, things change on a dime in terms of good play, bad play, you know, all that stuff that I always say. So, I mean, it's just a change right now. So Pekka's not going anywhere. He's not gone. He's going to help us, and he's going to be playing for us next year. So let's not write off Pekka. I think he'll be a big factor when it's all said and done, especially this year.
We're talking to Predators general manager David Poile, and you brought up the big oak trees on defense for you, but there's also the lumberjack and Ryan Ellis. He's got the beard for it for sure. That has really been impressive since he returned to the lineup after the injury, had the game winner the other day. We know what he can do offensively, but has he kind of been one of the key pieces to help shore things up defensively for your team?
I think we were, you know, really struggling, you know, with the 20 games that Ryan was out. You know, guys were not in the right place, right order, as we used to say. You know, we got to get Ryan on the bus and get him in the right seat. And just people weren't in the right seat. And right now with our top six, or the way we've played our top six in the last couple of games, everybody seems to be in the right place. And consequently, I think it's been really probably the best our defense has looked all year. So, you know, Ryan's top player. He's a leader on our team. He's scoring at the highest rate he's ever scored at this in his career. So, you know, as we talked about the trading deadline, what's your best move at the trading deadline? Best move was getting Ryan Ellis back in the lineup.
Do you feel like, you know, we've talked a lot about four forwards specifically, of knowing that there's another level, trying to get more out of them. Forsberg broke through and scored the other night, as did Duchesne. Are you starting to see some improvement out of those guys, see them return to more of their form?
I think so. I mean, we could kind of move as a team. The goaltending is knock on wood, is playing good. The defense we just talked about is playing good. Forwards, you know, our third and fourth line are playing very good. We just need to get more scoring out of our top guys. And I'm just repeating what you said, we're seeing a little bit of that. And that's what's going to get us, you know, in the playoffs. And that's what's going to get us over the hump, is when the top guys, you know, score on a more consistent basis.
I think with Phillip, like what I was saying about him is that, I mean, he was getting the shots, he was getting the looks, they just weren't going in. And I know that can mess with a player and be like, hey, why are they not going in? What has to go my way? Do you think it was some of that with him once the coaching change happened and he got used to that system, that they simply weren't going in, and maybe it was a little bit of a mental game, and now he's broken through?
Yeah, I'm sure it's some of that and some other situations. I mean, you know, pro sports is full of guys that have had great streaks and have had long droughts. And when you wonder why, I don't think it's physical. I think I agree with you, it's a little bit mental. I mean, we all get in a little bit of a funk every once in a while, and hopefully it's over. I mean, these guys got to dig down deep. They got to remember and look at what they did and when they're having good success, not dwell on the negative situations, and they got to fight through. That's all part and parcel. I mean, it's a hard game, and it's hard to score, and you have to go to hard areas to make that happen. And you got to get hit. You got to make a commitment. You got to sacrifice a little bit. And that's, you know, it's probably just a lot of different things. What we do know by history shows us they're all capable of playing at a higher level, and specifically, I mean, you know, offensively. And again, we need that tonight. We need that going forward. And if we're going to make the playoffs, it's going to be a key to getting us there.
Montreal tonight, and of course, you're very familiar with their captain, Shea Weber. And I look at this organization and their different eras, and the time that he was here, you really saw a lot of changes, a lot of growth in the organization. And I start with, you know, his contract. I mean, that was obviously a big commitment by ownership to match that contract, to keep him here. But when you look back on the time that Shea was not only the captain but played for this organization, what are some things that you think about?
Again, just like, you know, Becca, just a young guy drafted in the second round. I mean, how good is he really? And, you know, playing down in Milwaukee, getting bigger, stronger. Boy, this guy looks like he's going to be a good player, really good prospect. And then bringing him up to National Hockey League, playing with Ryan Suter. And, you know, in my mind, arguably they were close to, if not the best pair in the National Hockey League. Then seeing, you know, Shea become our captain. Again, growing in that role, you know, everybody's different as in their leadership. I mean, some guys are vocal, you know, some guys can do it on the ice. I think what Shea was famous for, especially within our locker room, was kind of the stare or the glare, which got guys in their place, you know, pretty much. So he's had a fantastic career. He's been a great, great player all his career, and certainly, you know, right there with Pekka's, probably the top two guys in the history of the Predators franchise.
David, enjoy the road trip. Enjoy the game tonight. And we certainly appreciate the visit, as always. And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Stay safe. Talk to you soon.
All right. That is David Poile, Predators General Manager. And every week he is brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. There's been another team punch their ticket in the NCAA tournament, and they didn't even play another game. That just happened. We'll tell you what we're talking about on the other side and talk a little bit more about the Predators here in hour number one of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.